Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all around the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Yo.
Hello.
This is our first show of the month, I think. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And also our post-July 4th episode. For a lot of us, at least for all but one of us, our arteries are a little more clogged than they were earlier this week.
As you do.
Yeah. Hopefully everything's good. We know Bill told us that he turned off the Epic Game Store loader, but he cannot guarantee whether or not that all of this is currently being sent to China as we speak.
And more if that listeners, is the case, yay! Yeah.
And if that's the case, we'd like to offer our congrats and hearty welcomes to Premier Xi Jinping and all the folks down there at the Chinese Communist Party. You know, the ideals of Chairman Mao Zedong burn brightly like a thousand suns, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll probably end up owning the rest of the world by 2040 anyway, so.
Yeah.
You better get used to
anyway,
it.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, so this week, this episode is going to be for July 5th, 2019. And, President Trump had his little, he tried to have his little 4th of July me parade. And, it went about as well as anybody who had watched the Weather Channel expected it would. it was a bust. It wasn't just a bust, it was a colossal bust. And we're going to tell you all about it. Also, this one dipshit named Andy Ngo went to a Proud Boys rally trying to dox a bunch of Antifa people, and he got his ass kicked. And we're going to describe basically everything that happened and why you really should not feel sorry for this son of a bitch.
It all comes down to my personal credo.
Yeah. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
That's the one.
Yep. We need to print a t-shirt. There's some more Nike controversy, involving, sneakers that they were going to put out the Betsy Ross flag on, which now bears the question, are the people who are mad about this, are they going to try and burn their Nike sneakers again? Because if they end up doing that with these, isn't that kind of like a catch-22?
I mean, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
It's also expensive the first time around.
Yeah. Also, one of, Trump's biggest GOP critics has recently left the GOP. We'll tell you who it was and why he left. Also, Mad Magazine is finally coming to a close, which is really sad. Disney announced who's going to be playing Ariel in the upcoming and, let's be honest, inevitable Little Mermaid live-action remake, and the internet lost their goddamn minds. So, all that and more on this on this just post July 4th gluttony edition of Let's Weekend. All right, so as always, we'll start off with what we've been up doing this week. Phil, what have you been up doing this week?
So I had to hit the reset button on the Perm series.
Yeah,
So it turns out if you're trying to listen to a book, it kind of helps if it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
I was missing a good, probably like the middle of the book. I had the beginning and the end, but I had no idea what happened in the middle of it. So
really, wow.
So that had to, that basically had to just go and find a, another source of audiobooks for that one. So I went to my, library and found that they had it, so I got it there. And this one is complete, so thankfully I'll be getting back to that soon.
Good.
So there's that. And of course, I've been playing Bloodstained. This game is mostly been playing it on the PC for this week, just to get some comparison. And boy, is that game ever spectacular on the PC when you crank the settings up.
I bet.
Yeah, the cinematic settings, 144 frames a second. I'm kind of happy. Very nice. Also found there's a little bit. I don't know if it's a glitch or if it's a feature, but you can have two familiars at once.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually fairly easy. Actually, very easy to do. Basically, what it boils down to is you activate one familiar, and then set up a shortcut that has another familiar active and switch to that shortcut. It'll activate the other familiar, but it doesn't deactivate the one you had previously. So, yeah, if you want the sword and the fairy following along with you, you can do that, and both of them will level at the same time. So, I don't know if they'll fix that, but for now, it does work. So, yeah, that's very helpful. Especially once you start getting, you know, closer to the end of the game, where you kind of need that familiar to be, you know, not crappy.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, well, I finally got a decent copy of the soundtrack for Bloodstained. Yeah, it's that is a really good soundtrack, I should point out. Yeah. And yes. What else have I been doing? Yeah, not a whole lot. Yeah, I was gonna say I did a little bit of 4th of July barbecuing, but no, that way I actually did 1st of July barbecuing.
Because they have Canada Day instead of Independence Day. Yeah. And their whole independence story is a lot less dramatic than ours is.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. United States, our independence story has been made into several films over the years, some good, some bad. If they were to do that for Canada Day, it would basically be like a 3-minute video on YouTube of a dude signing paperwork.
Yeah. It's like we just said, oh, hey, we're independent now. All right. Yeah.
Yo, Queen, we wants to be out.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, whatevs. Can we still visit? Yeah. All right, we're
sure.
Good.
We'll still keep you on our money.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, and we'll still have lots of, you know, fun parades and stuff with the RCMP, which I gotta admit, I kind of am a sucker for. I do like some of that pageantry shit.
Oh, we Americans are suckers for Mounties.
Yeah.
We can't help it, because compared to what cops in our country are like, Mounties seem like goddamn saints. Which, I mean, considering how, you know, Canada in the old days used to treat the indigenous population is not entirely accurate, but...
No. So, yeah. So that's kind of been it for me. How about you, Pat?
My week has pretty much been dominated by Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers, to the surprise of absolutely nobody. I did complete the main story quest a couple of nights ago, and holy shit, was that a lot to digest. I'm not sure if I could say that the game delivered on everything in terms of storyline that was promised in the promotion of the game, but it could all come together in the ensuing patches as well, so that is something to consider. And taken for what it is, it is a spectacular story arc. And the adjustments they made to the gameplay system feel wonderful. I said on the Day Zero update a couple weeks ago that the ideal thing for them to do would be to optimize the battle system so that you could reasonably play all the jobs on a controller. And I think they've accomplished that. Everything feels a lot less cumbersome than it did in Stormblood. And yeah, it's that optimization without actually dumbing things down that I said they needed to do. And I would say they knocked it out of the park. Having finished the main story quest, I am going to... I do have a lot of thoughts on the matter, but it's kind of frustrating because all of the podcasts, all of the blogs, everything that's coming out about it is staying spoiler-free for the time being, and it's frustrating because I want to talk about it! And, yeah, hopefully... hopefully that lifts in the next week or so, because I have a lot of thoughts to share and don't want to get crucified for sharing them, because all of it is pertinent to main storyline implications. That being said, I will also say that we have a new best Moogle in the Final Fantasy continuity. And... You have to play Shadowbringers to see, but yes.
You can get a taste of it over at Pat's Facebook page.
Yeah. Well, not most people, because I privatize my page, but
yeah.
Yeah, just wait for the memes to come out, because they will come out. It is inevitable.
Yeah.
But that's been my week.
All right, Chris, what about you?
It's been hot as hell here. About 90 the last few days. Today the main difference was it rained pretty hard for about an hour. Mm-hmm. So it was cool for about an hour and a half, and then the sun came back out. It's like, we got you. Now it's humid as well. So that wasn't great. I went and saw Spider-Man Far From Home the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it on Wednesday morning, so there was not many people in it, in the theater, and it was really good. Really liked it. Does a good job of kind of continuing some of the stuff that was going on with at the end of Endgame. Some of the themes as Peter kind of comes to grips with what happened and tries to move on. It has some real great bits in it. The beginning is pretty great. Not really going to spoil anything, but there's, because of the song, you would never expect to be in an MCU movie. Mm. And yeah, the mid and post credit scenes provide some great insight into kind of what's going on, at least in the immediate next few movies, especially for Peter himself. The one that's specifically centered around Spider-Man is pretty great, and it's kind of a nod to the game, Spider-Man.
Mm.
There's a cameo of a certain character that is in the Spider-Man game, and it's probably not the one you're thinking of. Let's see. And yeah, the other post-credits scene that's at the end of the credits also sets up some really crazy stuff for the future. So, I'm kind of excited to see like what's coming next, because they have not really announced anything that's coming after Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know certain things are in the works, but we don't know like time frames when they're going to happen.
Yeah, well, we know there's a third Guardians movie coming. So
that, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another. There's another Black Panther. Yeah, and probably like a new Doctor Strange and some of the other stuff there.
Yeah,
new Thor. Or that'll probably be part of Guardians, I guess.
Could be.
Have you seen Endgame, Phil?
Not yet.
Mm. All right, so. That's technically a spoiler. It's not really a minor one, but there's some intermingling of the Guardians and Thor.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a lot of fun for a movie. And kind of if you know Mysterio, like what he does, you kind of, the plot is kind of predictable.
Okay.
But yeah, the where it goes at with that stuff is pretty cool.
Hmm.
And yeah, it also kind of delves a little bit on the whole idea of half of the population on Earth had to like aged 5 years, while the other half that comes back is back at their old age. Yeah. Kind of the discrepancy these two have,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to like a high school.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
And it's like, oh, this kid was dorky when we blinked out of existence, and we came back, and he's all good looking, grown up.
Mm.
It's like, what the hell happened? kind of thing. And yeah, it's a fun movie.
Hmm.
I've been watching more Dragon Ball Super. I am about to start the Tournament of Power, which is a pretty poorly named thing, because it's not actually a tournament. It's a battle royale, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They have 10 fighters from 8 of the universes, and they're going to fight all at once. And I guess whoever has the most by the end is going to win. And the rest gets wiped out, which is kind of crazy, especially as they just introduced the first female Saiyans.
Mm-hmm.
As I suspect, there's going to be, it's not going to end like cleanly, I guess. There's going to be shit that goes on that's going to cause things to maybe not be as straightforward as it seems.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that is typical Dragon Ball. But yeah, I'm excited to keep watching that. I've been watching Stranger Things, finished up my rewatch and started watching some of season 3 yesterday. Mm-hmm. And a few episodes in, it's been good so far. And kind of where they go with this season is that it's like the whole big lab that's been behind all the shit that happened for the first two seasons has been kind of shut down, except now maybe the Russians have taken over. Though I guess being in the 80s, it should be the Soviets.
Yep.
But they just call them the Russians.
Yeah.
They just don't really bother with that. I think that's probably just to make it easier for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the person that gets like the big spooking from whatever this other dimensional thing that's going on is one of the worst characters from the second season. So that's a neat twist for them. It's like, oh, maybe you serve some actual purpose other than just being a huge asshole for an entire season. So yeah, that's been good so far. I'm going to keep watching it when I get some time. I've been doing a lot of streaming for the past week. We did Super Mario Maker 2. We did a stream on that, made a level, which is kind of a shmup level, which I called Smash Pad Gaiden Type Zero.
Nice.
Didn't make it too hard, which I think I haven't checked it today, but I think the completion rate was about 40%, which seems pretty good for the way people play those games, those levels. The first one I put up, which was called Console Tariffs, has two people has completed it out of like 30 that have played it. So it's like at a good like 1%, 1.5% completion, which is probably pretty good for that because I made it intentionally kind of hard. Mm-hmm. It's a level that just fucking tries to screw you over and over again because that's what tariffs are.
Yep.
And the neat thing is that for the first half, I use a lot of like balance board stuff in there and have thwomps come in and fuck it up. Especially having usually one on each end so that as you try and go along, they can just fucking throw you around. In testing it, there were too many at a certain point on some of them where it was like almost impossible to get past, so I had to take a few out and made it a bit easier. Mm-hmm. And kind of came to the conclusion, it's like, you know, the easy way to get through it is you land on the board and you just stop moving.
Yep.
Because once it hits, you stay in place and you wait for them to go up and you start going. But if you're trying to speed run it, you're most likely just going to keep trying jumping through and you're going to get fucked unless you get perfect bounces or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is just a lot of blind jumps, I guess I would call it. Even though I try and put some coins, kind of guide you a little bit so you hopefully don't have too much trouble. But then the end is basically just has a jump that you kind of have to make perfectly or else you're going to get killed by thwomps. So it's a good level to get fucked up in. And yeah, the second one I made, the shooter, was pretty interesting to build. I did not know how to get the... So there's a version of Bowser's clown flying vehicle that actually has like a gun on it, which I didn't know because I had not played the story mode stages that had it in there. So what I did is I gave you a fire flower and then that thing, and you just go up and just shoot the fire flower from the vehicle. So, and all the enemies have like parachutes, so they come floating in, and so you try and kill them or dodge them or whatever, and you need to get a certain amount of coins to finish the level. And I made a third level called it'll be tied into like what our asshole of the week is. It's called Kingdom Bully Patrol. Based off of Customs Border Patrol. It's set in the 3D world stage. And essentially, there's a bunch of essentially rooms where they're just Goombas stuck in there. They're imprisoned in there. Then it has bullies that are in 3D world, which you can't really kill, at least as far as I could tell. But you have to basically jump on them and get keys out of the question mark blocks that are above them and get to the next room and kind of get through. It's pretty quick, like less than a minute if you know what you're doing, but otherwise it's kind of just like, you know, this shit's fucked up. I want to make a Mario Maker level about this kind of thing. And it worked out pretty well. But yeah, that's been some fun streaming stuff. I think on Tuesday we did Horizon Chase Turbo, which Phil was in the chat for that. And that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I got through a bunch of the stages. I think up to South America, or South Africa. And did pretty well. And then I tried out some of the playground mode, which was pretty cool. Essentially like five like stages that you can go through. But they have like random variables turned on and off. So like the first one just had no HUD. So if you had to pay attention to like how many boosts you've used and that sort of stuff. That stuff's pretty cool. And yeah, that's a really good game. Definitely good, a good game to have on PlayStation Plus for the people that are willing to actually give it a shot. What else? We streamed some American Truck Simulator on Wednesday. Cause I was like, I don't really want to play anything American except for this. Yeah, that's a lot of fun game. The only problem is it's pretty resource intensive for me to stream with. So I had to like turn the graphics down all the way, which does not look great, but it ran okay. So I was just kind of like chilling out, just driving around. I just bought the New Mexico DLC, so I was trying to go from, see how much I could go from like New Mexico up to like Northern California, with the different jobs I could get. And I kept running into an issue where it seemed like all of these places where you get your trailer loaded up are laid out so poorly for trucks to get out of. Because it's like, oh, you have to take like an immediate left turn.
Yep.
Then try and get out another like immediate right turn when you get to this certain point. It's like, hope you don't scrape along the walls getting out, which I got stuck the first time trying to get out, so I had to just drive down a hill and back up it.
As somebody who has a friend who's a truck driver, and I've heard him complain many, many times, it sounds like the game's actually quite accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you have like big open spaces for these people to drive through? instead of like, oh, we'll save on space because we don't have that much room on this slot. It's like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Especially when I was doing like runs for toys, and it would give you like double trailers, which is like an extra layer of hell trying to get through these areas. There was one fun bit where they have some like random events that happen. So like they shut down this road that I really needed to go through. So I went and did an alternate route and came back, and it's like, oh, you still can't get through this area. Cause it's like a much bigger area that was blocked off. So I just drove around the cop. I didn't get any tickets or anything. I got to another area. I was like, oh, here's where like the accident was. And they had like a helicopter there too. So I just drove along the side, on the shoulder there. Still managed to get through. No tickets on the, oh, I got one ticket on the stream. Cause, I was turning and wasn't paying complete attention, hit somebody. There was later on where somebody actually hit my truck and I didn't get a ticket. So I was like, all right, you're the jerk. Then they stopped and I drove off. So like, I can't deal with this. I got business to do. I got to get this stuff delivered. But yeah, I was hoping to stream some more Super Mario Maker 2 yesterday, but I was wiped out. So I'm going to do that tomorrow night on Saturday. We're gonna make another level, and I'm hoping to make a better like shmup level. I think that's what my plan is. So we'll be doing that, and I don't know what else for this weekend. So I'll figure it out as we go. But yeah, that's been most of the week for me. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah. So as for me, my gaming has pretty much exclusively been made up of Bloodstained. I'm actually at the fight with Dominique.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that that's how you get the true ending. You fight Dominique, and then I guess it's Bale after that. Am I right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But the thing is, the Dominic fight's kind of kicking my ass, so I'm going out and fighting some of the optional bosses.
Yeah.
To get my, my level up and get some stronger equipment. Yeah. And I did fight Simon Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking so good, but it's definitely him. for those who get to play the game, it's the Warhorse. The guy behind the Warhorse door needs the Warhorse key. It's obviously supposed to be like Simon Belmont, but he's a dead, rotting corpse.
Yeah.
I'm guessing,
that sounds strangely symbolic.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a giant F you to Konami.
Mm-hmm.
The other two bosses are, let's see, there's the Carpenter, who is the dude with the enormous table saw. Not sure what he's supposed to be referencing. And then, of course, there's the Millionaire, which is a giant living... like one of the slot machine characters from Dragon Quest.
Mm-hmm.
He's even got a bunny, one of those bunny girls in the back that's ready to give you puff puff. So I'm pretty sure that whole thing is one giant Dragon Quest reference.
Yeah. Did you do the 8-bit level?
I have gone to the 8-bit to the point where the boss is, but then he kicks my ass because of that wavy fire attack he has.
Yeah.
I am intending to beat him. I just have to find out how.
Yeah.
Everybody was saying, it's like, this is definitely supposed to be like a classic reference to old school 8-bit Castlevania. I'm pretty sure the graphics are just recycled from the other Bloodstained game.
Mm-hmm.
What's that other one called?
Curse of the Moon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of those graphics are from Curse of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
This game really is fun, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just being able to go around and explore stuff in this game is just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
One of the things about it I have realized is it just me or does it? Okay, so it's been a few years since I've played Symphony of the Night. This game doesn't appear quite as substantial as Symphony of the Night was.
It's actually bigger than Symphony.
I mean, maybe it's partly because, because I remember in Symphony of the Night, you actually had the inverted castle that seemed to make the game twice as long than it actually was, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it might be because maybe it's just, I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe it's less that and more like there don't seem to be as many enemies on the screen as when you'd be playing Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Because Symphony of the Night, it could get absolutely crowded sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's possible maybe it's just, scale isn't quite what I remember it was. But it's still a lot of fun, incredibly fun. And it's got so many things like... so many like secrets and Easter eggs locked away that you can find. Yeah.
And some of them are. Zangetsu is coming out soon too. So, Zangetsu will be out soon as well.
Oh yeah, DLC.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
So we'll be able to play through the entire game as him.
Yeah. I'm sure he's going to have his whole storyline too.
Yep.
So yeah, that sounds good. But yeah, really not much more I can say about that. That game is just genuinely good.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure I'm almost finished with it, more or less. But anyway, so other than that, doing my usual reading, I've been reading these two books I've really loved, and I'd like to share them with you very briefly. One of them is this book called Lint, L-I-N-T. It's a fictional biography. You know what that is, right? It's like a biography of a fictional person.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually exist.
Hmm.
It's written by Steve Aylett. And basically the story is basically based around this. It's the biography of this fictional author by the name of Jeff Lint, who was kind of one of the weirder writers in the golden age of science fiction. He's kind of compared to like Philip K. Dick, except Philip K. Dick seems sane compared to him. It's written, like, the dude is genuinely mentally unhinged, but he's also, like, so effortlessly mentally unhinged that it's sometimes, like, one of the things he starts doing as a regular ritual is when he's handing in his manuscripts to the publisher, he always comes dressed in women's clothing for some reason. He becomes a master of what he calls effortless insults. Well, not effortless insults, but effortless inducing of anger, where he comes up with this idea where he decides he's going to bless everyone he comes in contact with. He says, "God bless you to everyone." And because of that, he's always getting the crap beat every person he meets. There's a whole story in this book about how this long time, like, rivalry he has with this guy named Herzog, who at one point it's rumored that he plotted to actually kill Jeff Lent by hiring this dude to hit him with a trailer truck, and he ends up missing him, and the moment Herzog's told that Lent has been killed, he smiles and then dies on the couch. And it's weird shit. He ends up, because he's very much like a cult author, you know, he never becomes like a big mainstream success until like well into his later life. So he becomes a belated success in the 90s, even though he'd been working since around World War II. And amongst other things, he tries to make it as a writer in Hollywood by writing scripts for movies that eventually become Patton and Funny Girl. He is hired on to do a sort of a replacement cartoon for Rocky and Bullwinkle after it goes off the air, and he ends up creating something called Caddy in the Major that is like, you guys remember Salad Fingers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Salad Fingers. It was apparently so batshit crazy and scary that it basically was taken off the air after 4 episodes. And then in the 70s, he's hired on as a writer and illustrator for a new comics company called Pearl Comics, and he ends up contributing a comic he calls The Caterer, which is about this guy named Jack Marsden, who is never shown to actually cook or wear an apron or anything. He's just like this blonde collegiate jock dude who just goes around screaming about random things and every so often goes on a killing spree. And supposedly the comic was permanently shelved after issue 9, in which Jack Marsden walks into Disneyland with a machine gun and basically slaughters the entire Disney cast.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a problem.
Yeah. So yeah, if you ever get your hands on this book, it is insanely funny. And the other is, I've probably mentioned this before, it's a collection of science fiction stories from China called Invisible Planets. It's it's edited by Ken Liu, and most of it's also translated by him. And one of the stories in there is a story that became like a major sort of international award-winning hit, a short little novel called Folding Beijing, by a woman named Hao Jingfeng, and it's basically a lot like what it says on the tin, because Beijing in the story in the near future starts having a population and resources problem. It comes up with the idea of rebuilding the city. Well, first they hollow out the ground underneath Beijing, and then they redesign the whole city into these 3 or 4 sectors. And then they then build these sectors so that at different times of the day, the city will literally fold into itself. And like, you know, one section will fold into itself and then go underground. And then another one comes up and folds itself out. And then the people who live in that sector can get on part of that day, and then they go home, and then the city folds again. And then the next people in that sector, they get that part of the day, will do whatever. It makes more sense when you actually read it.
Yeah. That sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's definitely worth reading, though. What else? Not nothing really much X, except Netflix. You know, I've been still watching Evangelion. I got to the part where the angel basically invades Asuka's mind.
That was fucked up.
Yeah, with the Hallelujah chorus. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's like the part of the show when people really started to realize, yeah, this isn't going to be your normal anime. Because that whole, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, but I famously said that the anime basically goes batshit about halfway through, but the seeds of that really start around that point in time.
Yeah. Oh, did you see what Netflix did?
About what specifically? Because they did
a
couple.
They had End of Evangelion and Madoka Magica listed under anime for beginners.
Nice.
Or anime to traumatize you.
Yeah. End of Evangelion in particular. I got to be honest, that's really the only way that story could have ended satisfactorily.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much been it. Anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right, well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, I've probably mentioned this before, but I've been sort of rereading L. Ron Hubbard stuff recently, Battlefield Earth and some of his Golden Age stuff that he did. So, you know, every so often when I do that, you know, I'm kind of a Hubbard connoisseur, if it were. And the thing about Hubbard's career is because it has that whole, like, those story arcs of insanity that he seems to have multiples of them is just all of the weird ways they try to. Okay, so, like, after he basically gets off of the Pulp Fiction writing circuit and goes headlong into building the Church of Scientology, all of these weird schemes and ideas that him and the church come up with to try and grow their numbers. So, for example, I want to show you something really quick. Now, I think we've all seen, if not this particular image, some version of this image at one point in time. I'm going to put it in the chat here real quick. Okay. Okay, hold on. There we go. Now, we all recognize this image, right?
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah, you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the versions of the famous covenants of Dianetics. Mm. Dianetics is, of course, the sort of book that started the whole freaking shebang, right?
Right.
He first published this book way back in, when did he publish? I'm pretty sure he was published it right around 1950. Hmm. It's called, Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health, was published in 1950, May 1950. Now, you see that image, and when most people bring up the subject of Dianetics, specifically the book, what's usually the first thing that springs up in their mind? It's this image, right?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say LOL Scientology, but...
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, there's that too, but it's this image, because, you know, it doesn't matter, you don't even need to go to a bookstore. If you go to, like a grocery store, drugstore, really any place that sells, you know, cheap paperbacks or books or something off on the side, you'll usually see this there, right? Yeah. Especially around those times when the Church of Scientology needs to print out another edition and, you know, crank up the advertisement bandwagon.
PR.
Yeah, the PR bandwagon. And so when most people think of Dianetics, other than, you know, like they said, the LOL Scientology, they usually think of that image of the exploding volcano. Yeah. Now, here's a question. And if you know the answer, don't say it yet because you're going to ruin the whole spiel that I'm going on here. What exactly does an exploding volcano have to do with a new science of the mind? Like, really think about that.
Okay, thought about it.
Yeah, it's you're thinking, and if you think it's like, yeah, that makes no damn sense whatsoever. Why is there a picture of an exploding volcano on the cover of Dianetics? Well, first things you need to know, that image of the exploding volcano, it's actually very recent. Because when the book first came out, it actually had a very plain cover. But then around, I think it was the 1970s, they started printing editions of Dianetics that would feature not that specific image of the volcano, but some kind of image of the volcano, right?
Right.
It would be that, or it'd be like a volcanic crater with like lava exploding out of the side. Something like that. There's a reason why there's a volcano on there. And to tell you that reason, I'm going to show you the other book that goes along with this. It's a book called Dianetics, The Evolution of a Science. This is the original cover.
Okay. That's...
So we've got an exploding volcano. We got what looks like some weird space alien dudes in white helmets and white uniforms loading boxes on a spaceship. Now, what in Scientology has to do with an exploding volcano and people and things being loaded onto a spaceship?
Tell us.
Well, here's the reason. The volcano is the volcano that the Galactic Overlord Zeno used to kill all of those dissidents. Remember?
Hmm.
Put them all around the volcanoes, exploded all the atomic bombs, and then their souls got released into the air. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then they were captured into the soul machines, and then they were put into a place to be given a false reality. Those became the quote-unquote engrams that then flew out and then attached themselves to humans. That's where all our problems and our mental states, et cetera, are supposed to come from. Now look at both of those covers again. Is it starting to make sense now?
Yeah.
The reason they started putting those covers there was because Hubbard and his people were convinced that those images would have some sort of genetic memory. It would trigger some sort of genetic memory in people. That being attracted by those weird images, it would trigger some sort of memory of that time when, you know, Xenu murdered millions of his people because of an overpopulation problem. So what you're specifically seeing on the cover of Dianetics is you're seeing, in the first one, Modern Science of Mental Health, that's the volcano exploding. Now, you obviously don't see any, you know, weird, you know, aliens or souls or anything flying around, but that's what it's supposed to be. And as for the cover for the Science of the Mind, that's supposed to be Xenu's people loading the souls of all the people that had just been destroyed into that little volcano, being loaded into ships that will then be carried into DC-8s, which would then take them to Earth, and then they'd be fed a false reality.
And yeah, people believe this shit.
Yes, they do. Either that or they're too scared to say otherwise, because if you've seen people who've gotten out of Scientology have said, yeah,
it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now you know not to get messed up with those weird, weird people.
Yeah. It's really weird because as you're like, as I'm like putting this together, it's like, yeah, that cover is a symbol of genocide. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, with that, we now have to move on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we always have to start off with the assholes of the week. And our assholes of the week is the CDP.
Don't really think it could have been anybody else.
I mean, honestly, there really isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, we did kind of sort of have a culprit, maybe have a potential candidate with Andy Goh, but we'll talk about him later. But that doesn't really amount to finding out that these camps are overcrowded, that people are sick, some of them are starving, some of them haven't showered in days. A lot of them have been held way over the 72-hour period that they're supposed to be held. Because apparently, believe it or not, there actually is a law that says that if you were to deport a person, you can only keep that person in custody for 72 hours, then set them loose at the border.
Yeah,
but that's not what's happening here. So we've heard story they're making people drink out of the toilets, apparently.
Yeah, because their sinks aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
Which then people on Twitter were trying to do a gotcha. It's like they found pictures of the sort of toilets, which are like combo units.
Mm-hmm.
A sink and toilet, which is, you know, real great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have people drink out of the same, like, physical unit that they, you know, poop and pee into.
Mm-hmm. And then we actually started getting pictures of inside this place.
Yeah.
A lot of them are thanks to Joaquin Castro, who is, he's representative, right?
Yep.
And so basically before all these people from Congress were go in, they supposedly, the CBP people basically told them, look, we got to confiscate your phones and stuff before we go in. And
that should be your first clue.
Yeah, that should be, I guess. I mean, technically, they could say that the reason they do it is to protect the identity of people in case they end up going to trial or something.
Hmm.
Like, that could be the excuse, I guess.
Yeah.
And technically, I mean, they would kind of be right, but let's be honest here. That's not the real reason why they did it.
Hmm.
They didn't want it to get these conditions and what it looked like to get out into the ether. Which is exactly what Joaquin Castro managed to do. He somehow managed to sneak in a phone. I don't know how he did it. Chris, did they tell you how he did it?
No. Well, somehow AOC was just like, he managed to sneak one in despite being have the rest of them taken away.
Yeah.
There are some very small phones nowadays. So.
Yeah. So we went in there, and he took it out, and then we ended up getting actual footage from inside these facilities.
Yeah.
And if you thought the county jail looked bad, oof, boy.
Yeah, room with women and I think, little girls.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had boys with the men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this area is for, like, 40 people tops, and it's like,
and there's, like, 80 people in there.
Mm.
And just basically every square inch in there was, you know, being taken up by somebody sitting there trying to sleep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do something to occupy themselves because they don't really have anything else they can do.
Yeah. And, you know, they asked them, like, you know, have you been able to bathe regularly? Have they given you soap or toothpaste or a toothbrush? And it's like, we haven't showered in probably a couple weeks.
Yeah, she got... one of the pictures they showed was one of the women gave them like the packaging they had for the shampoo.
Yeah, and it looked like one of those things that you get like lube in.
Yeah,
that like comes with like a packet of Trojans or something.
The kind of thing you get is like a travel thing to take with you for, you know, vacation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little.
There's a reason why it's so small. It's because legally they're supposed to only keep these people for 72 hours. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and because obviously AOC can speak Spanish, she can talk to...
Well, I mean, a bunch of them could speak Spanish very fluently, so...
Yeah, but she was specifically, like, asking people things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she says, after I forced myself into a cell with women and began speaking, one of them described their treatment at the hands of officers as, quote, psychological warfare, waking them at odd hours for no reason, calling them whores, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what about this is due to a lack of funding?
Mm-hmm.
And she said she brought up these issues to the superiors and said, quote, officers are under stress and act out sometimes, no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
The night showers for about 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
Saving medication as well. For some means, being separated from the children.
Mm-hmm.
Extended periods of time.
Yep. And then I think it came out that there was like a couple of kids were asked to like draw what they saw inside those facilities. And they brought them and they are not pretty. They're kids drawing, so obviously
it's
visually
like people behind
bars with sad faces and everything, and it's like, oh boy. So basically what we're trying to tell you is your worst fears have been realized.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Nazis.
Yeah. And they're basically, I mean, keep in mind, these people were doing this you know, like all this was happening, and this is when members of Congress were there, and they were supposed to be acting on what was their best behavior.
Yeah, they were basically saying, yeah, like they cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess this is what they did to clean up.
Mm-hmm. you're thinking this, it's like, okay, maybe this is like one very bad example. Maybe this one particular facility is just infested with assholes, right? No, it's much worse than that. And we found out this week because it came out that there was a secret Facebook group made up of current and former members of the Border Patrol. And, yeah, let's just say that I'm not surprised that a lot of people in the current Border Control probably were assholes from 4chan at one point or another.
Hmm. Even the group was called I'm 10-15, which 10-15 is the Border Patrol code for aliens in custody.
Classic. Mm.
Nice. And so, amongst other things, they regularly used various racial slurs. They joked about throwing burritos at them at some point.
And there are obscene memes, I guess. Photoshops of like AOC giving Trump oral,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they got those images off of pawheel.net, but it's for God's sakes, just wow, it's like it's really is filled with garbage human beings. Who would have figured? So good Lord, it's there's something to be said about, you know, waking up one day and realizing that there really are terrible people in this world.
Well, I've heard
a lot of people like basically going on the 4th of July and basically saying, what are we celebrating? There's... I think for a lot of people, this past week has been kind of a wake-up realization mm-hmm. of, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
July 4th, I think this year, was kind of a collective moment for Americans to kind of realize how far we've gone down.
Maybe I was glad I was working, so I didn't have to really... Mm-hmm. bother with even pretending I was going to do anything.
Yep.
But I don't know if you caught this last part, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
The Border Patrol agency, like the heads, were saying they had no idea about this Facebook group.
Yeah, and that turned out to be a lie because they've actually known about it for a year or even more.
Like a few years now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yeah, huge surprise. They just lied.
Yeah.
Bunch of lying liars who lie.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I want to pretend that this is something that just started with Trump, but I'm going to be completely honest here. That it seems to be that really toxic culture has been a part of the Border Patrol for many years now.
Yeah, that's the sort of gig that would draw those sort of people to it.
Yeah, yeah, you wanted to be a cop or a soldier, but you didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when they have, like, big hiring sprees, like with Bush, I think, had one big one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they didn't have people qualified for that job enough to fill what they needed.
Yep.
So that means they cut a lot of corners in the hiring process.
Yeah. No
don't
kidding.
Vet people as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the worst people doing awful things.
Yeah.
Or just completely incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who else had a hiring spree? Trump. Oh,
yep. And we had Stephen Miller in charge of that part of our country. Mm-hmm. So. Ugh. 2020 cannot get here fast enough.
Yeah.
Anyway. But it wasn't all bad this week. Some of it was good. Some of it was even hilarious. We'll get to some of the funny stuff later, but we have our Hero of the Week, and our Hero of the Week is that the Democrats in the House of Representatives officially made it official. They are suing for President Trump's tax returns.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hooray.
I mean, they've been working on this for, I think, the last year and a half or so.
Yeah.
Pretty much since the midterms. And I think now is the point that they were finally able to get, like, all the paperwork done. It's like, okay, we are officially asking you to bring this crap to us.
Hmm. And yeah, because they lost their other avenues, essentially. Yep.
Like, we wanted to be nice.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted you to just be professionals, but apparently y'all want to be a bunch of babies about it, so we're having to bring in the big guns.
Yeah.
Don't say we didn't warn you. Yeah. So, all right. So, Chris, if you can sort of fill in the details.
Yeah. So they filed this on Tuesday, the lawsuit, in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., and sort of what this has all been leading up to through this battle with the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
As you might remember, Mnuchin rejected the subpoena back in May.
Yep.
Just basically second guidance from the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now they just basically want to enforce the subpoena and get these returns.
Mm-hmm.
I see they're arguing in the court filing that the committee has the right to access Trump's private tax information under Section 6103 of the U.S. tax code.
Mm-hmm. It
says Treasury shall furnish the committee with any requested tax return information from any U.S. citizen, including the president. The filing state the law was intended to provide the committee with unfettered access to tax return information necessary to carry out its broad mandate to oversee Treasury, the IRS, and the nation's tax laws.
Mm-hmm.
And committee Republicans have sided with Mnuchin, because of course they would.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the lawsuit is motivated by partisanship and circumvents the usual committee process for requesting taxpayer information, which it is partisanship because half the parties are not, you know, doing the things they should.
Yep. Incompetence. It's so delicious. Especially when you can point it out and say, hey, you people are douchebags and we're going to get crap from you.
Mm. Legally.
Yeah. Fun, okay. fun for the whole family. All right. Next up. You guys may remember, I think we talked about this last week. The woman who... She was a pregnant woman in Alabama. She got in a scuffle over another woman over who was the possible father of the child. And the other woman shot the pregnant woman in her stomach. And the only person who ended up getting any charges was the pregnant woman because the child died from the gunshot. She survived her injuries. The child sadly didn't. So now, sadly... And then, of course, she was then actually given charge. So the DA said, hey, only victim in this is the kid, so we got to bring her in.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was assholes all the way down, basically. Well, it was officially announced this week that the prosecutors in Alabama are dismissing those manslaughter charges.
Yeah. Hmm. So finally, some order is happening here.
Yeah.
So somebody in Alabama actually had some sense.
Yeah. Somebody in Alabama woke up one morning and realized, this is kind of stupid. This is kind of asinine, people. Yeah, that was... Yeah, it must have been a fun day to be a prosecutor in Alabama this week.
Yeah.
See, this is the reason why these heartbeat bill bullshit cannot go through, because of crap like this.
Yeah.
Because if you think this is just a fluke, just wait. Because if more of those laws get passed, you're going to start seeing more crap like this in the news.
Yeah.
In fact, I would not be surprised if this is the only case. I bet you there are other cases similar to this that are more obscure that haven't managed to have the, I guess, bad luck of getting into the popular consciousness like this one is.
Hmm.
And this is really the only one we're hearing about.
Yeah, well, the circumstances of this one are dramatic enough that, you know, it kind of writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So that was just an awful situation. I'm glad there's something of a resolution, at least somewhat, but I also wouldn't pull it over the prosecutors in Alabama to try and come up with something else. Yeah. Try and drag her back into prison, but whatever. We'll have to see, I guess. Yes. Anyway. All right, next story. So President Donald Trump became the first U.S. president in history to actually step into the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or North Korea, as most people know it. He actually stepped across the 38th parallel and entered North Korean territory and had a little chummy visit with Kim Jong-un.
Huh.
Yep. And
came back.
Yeah, and came back. if whether or not that's a good thing is kind of up to you, I guess. But yeah, so this is like another one of those signs, because you guys may remember last year that they more or less officially ended the Korean War.
Yeah.
And have started, like, they've already begun plans to start, you know, taking apart the DMZ. And, you know, they've made efforts to start reconnecting some of the old railroad tracks between the two countries.
I hadn't heard that whole thing fell apart, though.
Well, it's not so much that it fell apart so much as the South Korean president kind of did what he could to try and push the U.S. out of it, because he was kind of convinced that the U.S. was going to muck it up if they got too involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the only way that – the thing is technically that DMZ is technically – started more or less like partly owned by the U.S. military.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for it to get completely deconstructed, the U.S. kind of has to agree to it.
Yeah.
As for like the other stuff, like the nuclear stuff, that was the Trump administration. although it needs to be pointed out, the diplomats that were involved in that, Kim Jong-un, in fact, did not have them executed.
Mm.
That's another one of those weird stories about North Korea that manages to get out into the ether that isn't true.
Mm.
There's an awful lot of those, you may know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I guess this is like one of those events where it's like it's baby steps, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't think really this has anything to do with Trump more. Like, specifically, he's just happens like he's the president right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's kind of the one who's there.
Seems like this was done more as like a photo op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. He just wanted the publicity, I guess.
Yeah. But
Trump
wants
publicity? What?
What? Seriously? Wow. Who would ever heard of such a thing? Mm. But the sort of like side effect of this is it's also one of those things that's slowly breaking down the barrier between the two countries.
Yeah.
And I want people to understand, if and when the day finally comes that the two countries finally decide to like, I don't think that it's going to be like a East Germany, West Germany situation where they just tear down the border and everything's hunky dory, because if you really think about this...
Not unless it gets a lot uglier first.
Yeah, because if that does happen, what do you think all of those people in North Korea are going to do?
Go straight south.
Yeah, they're going to go over the mountains, and they're going to go straight into Seoul.
Hmm.
And that is basically going to destroy South Korea's economy.
Hmm.
Yeah, Seoul is already packed as it is.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons they're kind of doing this is because... I think both the leadership in both the North and South realizes that if their respective territories are going to be economically stable when a unification or some sort of unification does come, there needs to be steps taken so that both sides are economically viable.
Yeah.
And, you know, North Korea, for its part, has what they call, you know, special economic zones.
Yeah.
Where they've been kind of doing that for a few years now. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
Because, Yeah, I really want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. I honestly don't see a reunification happening, like not in like the sense that it becomes a single Korea again.
No, it's probably going to happen is it's going to be something akin to like the one country, two systems things that China has.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be much closer economic trading partners.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously North Korea is going to need some serious help economically because – you know, I mean, once the Soviet Union collapsed, that was pretty much their one and only lifeline until China decided to throw them a bone, you know, in the 90s. Mm. So it's going to take some international help to help, you know, rebuild parts of that country. But anyway, so in other Trump news, President Trump had his little 4th of July military event, and it was a massive bust. In just about okay, so the first bad sign was when I went on Facebook and found out that oh yeah, there was a flash flood warning in DC that day.
Womp womp.
I just looked at that and go, yeah, maybe there is God. Just maybe.
Yeah. That and you know they had the Pride celebration in New York for the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, and it was capped off with having a nice big double rainbow across the sky.
Yeah.
So, if you want to take that as a sign, you can.
Yeah.
We also know that, you know, originally Trump wanted had a little military parade with, like, the tanks rolling in the streets. The problem with that, of course, is very evident once you realize that the roads in D.C., especially around Main Street, are not built for tanks.
They're not built for cars, really. So
barely built for cars. it's twofold. If the tanks did try, I mean, the first most obvious problem is that it would basically tear up the streets, like, almost immediately. The other problem is that a lot of those roads, that's not necessarily solid ground underneath them.
No.
A lot of them have, like, underground rooms and chambers and hallways and stuff connected to, you know, government infrastructure and various, you know, like, this various, like, you know, intelligence organizations and stuff. So it's pretty obvious that if some tanks tried to go in that area, they would probably fall through the road into those underground chambers.
Yeah. Some IT guys would have a very bad day.
Yeah.
God, did you see where the funding for this whole thing came from?
I vaguely remember. Please tell me.
I came know from the National Park Service.
Oh, yep.
So. $2.5 million taxpayer money.
$2.5 million in taxpayer funds.
Which here's the quotes from somebody that works at the National Parks. The chair of the coalition to protect America's national parks. That is really important to folks when they are buying toilet paper, new chainsaw, new vehicle, law enforcement equipment, maybe seasonal employees, maybe repairing campgrounds. That money's not available. It'll make a difference to those parks who are expecting to receive some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Which, obviously, Trump's administration doesn't care about the parks.
Yeah.
So that's...
So he was, like, I guess in his mind he was expecting there was going to be, like, these big, massive crowds. And, of course, that didn't happen because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his faithful did still show up, but...
Yeah. You notice there were a little less than you probably would have expected?
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. I mean, obviously the rain isn't the only culprit there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also the fact that, you know, all of the impressive military stuff was, like, fenced off for everyone but, like, VIPs.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. A lot of those QAnon people showed up there, too. You may have saw a lot of them. Yeah, a lot of them you may have showed up showing, like, pictures of John F. Kennedy Jr. wearing a MAGA hat. Mm. Do you know why that is?
Mm.
Because apparently a part of the QAnon conspiracy is that John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a Trump supporter. And that, like, they're supposed to be, like, the calm before the storm, and then I can't believe there are still people who are gullible enough to believe that shit. Let's see, what else?
What else helps them sleep at night?
Yeah, what else? Obviously, because it was rained when President Trump gave his speech, obviously he couldn't do it out in the open, so he was closed in one of those glass bubble things. He said he was going to be there rain or shine, and that, you know, he would be completely okay with, you know, standing out in the rain. Obviously, he didn't do that. Then there was his speech. So if you went on social media this weekend, especially today, you may have noticed an awful lot of images of paintings of the Continental Army during the American Revolutionary War and the War of Independence, where there are suddenly a bunch of fighter jets in there for some reason. I'm guessing because at some point while President Trump was giving his speech, either the teleprompter started messing up or his script, something happened and he just sort of started winging it for a little bit. And for some reason, he thought that during the American War of Independence, we had airports. And that there were planes in the air. And,
you know, you do realize he's like 70 years old, right?
And yeah, I know.
Probably mostly senile.
And part of me wants to think that, I want to say something else, but I can't. Because of that, you haven't really heard much about his big July 4th bash on the news outside of all of that.
Yeah, because it was just all a clusterfuck.
I don't know if you saw images of the Washington Monument during the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I just posted a link in the chat where it looks like some evil shit's going on.
Yeah. Like, why all of a sudden does the Washington Monument have glowing red eyes? Is this going to be like the night on Bald Mountain where, like, the demon comes up and then suddenly there's like all the skeletons and stuff dancing around?
Yeah. Somebody didn't think that through.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of that from this administration.
Mm-hmm. Wow. this is going to be a meme tomorrow. I can feel it.
I'm sure it already is.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. And then we will march on Saruman. okay. All right, so, next story. Over in Portland, Oregon this week, the Proud Boys were having one of their little rallies, get-togethers. I don't know what you want to call it.
Circle jerks.
Gaggle of idiots. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
And so, as usually happens when you have some group of crypto-fascists show up, who usually also shows up? The counter-protesters, which is usually staffed by...
Antifa.
Antifa. Which, I want to remind everybody, not an actual organization. There is no member role, there are no dues paying, there's... It's not a group, it's a response.
Yep.
And, amongst... this gaggle of people was a gentleman by the name of Andy Go. Who is Andy Go? Andy Go is an Asian wannabe Milo Yiannopoulos. That's what he is. And he is infamous for going to all of these different events and then taking pictures of the counter-protesters and then using them to try and identify and dox them. He calls himself a quote-unquote photojournalist, but that's what he does and has done. And there is evidence of it, of him doing this in the past, and it's gotten innocent people hurt.
Yeah.
But so he ended up in one of these rallies, and suddenly all the Antifa people spotted him. And they knew who he was.
And what and he was there to do.
And what he was there to do. So they did what's become sort of the... meme version of confronting, you know, far-right white supremacist D-holes, which is get them with the milkshake, right?
Yeah. I was going to say kick their ass, but...
Well, they did that, and then they also sprayed him with the silly string. And so he was pretty roundly humiliated on film. So then he comes out and he says, you know, I was just there at there and I got beaten mercilessly. I have a concussion. I have a brain hemorrhage. Antifa are throwing milkshakes mixed with liquid cement. Or was it like liquid concrete or something like that?
Yeah, that's what the Portland Police Department was saying.
Yeah, and then it turned out to be bullshit. And then, of course, there was the – you may have also seen these images of people claiming of a quote-unquote Latino woman, which, by the way, would be a Latina woman, yeah. Which should be your first sign that, okay, something is awry here, claiming someone having chemical burns from these insidious Antifa milkshakes. And then it turned out that the photos they were using were cribbed from a – I think it was an old Salon piece about the dangers of – tanning beds. And so he supposedly went to the hospital. He had a brain hemorrhage, and then a little under 24 hours later he was out and about having interviews with Fox News, and he's basically been trying to play the martyr ever since.
I don't think that's how brain hemorrhages work.
I know that's not how brain hemorrhages work. Because a brain hemorrhage, even the mildest brain hemorrhages, can cause a stroke. This does not like seem like a gentleman who has suffered a stroke of even the mildest kind.
So,
Indigo got what he deserved, and he doesn't deserve your damn sympathy.
No. Also, the police are complicit in all this for giving power to the claim that there was concrete in the milkshakes.
I mean, wasn't there also like pictures of them fist bumping the Proud Boy guys at some point? Like,
I don't know. But yeah, basically, like, the fact is, like, everybody has phones, but you never saw that much video footage of this event.
Yeah.
Outside of the dude getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
Like, not much in the way of pictures or anything. So I was like, if anything actually substantive actually happened, there would be way more than what there was.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's the whole thing that definitely set off my spidey sense here is like...
Yeah. Once I started looking, I was like, this guy knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, he went there looking for a fight, and he got one. So, you know, just...
Yeah,
look, actions have consequences, dude.
Yeah.
Don't try and play the victim for something you yourself are trying to instigate in the first place.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, Jake Tapper from CNN gets in on this, falling for this stupid bullshit and claiming, yes, other journalists have been hit by Antifa as well. Again, Andy Go is not a journalist. He is a troll pretending to be a journalist. Yeah.
A good tweet here in the article. It says, Andy Go is a far-right activist and blogger who writes bogus scare pieces to incite hatred against Muslims. He's not a journalist in any capacity. Whatever your opinions on a far-right activist getting punched in the face are, please describe his actual profession correctly.
Yeah, that's who he is. That's what he does. He's not a quote-unquote centrist.
No.
And also all those people that are trying to use the fact that he is both Asian and apparently openly gay as like a shield for him. Yeah, I got two names for you. Ernst Röhm and Hideki Tojo. One of them gay, one of them Asian, both of them fascist scumbags.
And also none of that prevents him from being an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. But see, that's the thing, because that's one of the other things that the alt-right does is they – talk about identity politics all the time, and then they try to, very cynically and in bad faith, try to invoke those same arguments to work as a shield against people when they've been called out on their shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because apparently these idiots can't get it through their head that, you know, identity politics is not something that was just built ex nihilo, you know?
Yeah.
You know, intersectionality and all that stuff stuff that came about was constructed through many, many years of struggle and repression and all that other shit. It was built from the ground up by people that needed it the most and has actual real-world implications. It's not just some stupid D&D bullshit we thought up on the fly.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed yet, these type of people really piss me off. Because, you know, the thing about them being...
They piss off anyone with a brain.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the fact that they're fascist assholes is bad enough. The fact that they're so cowardly and cynical and, you know, act in bad faith with just everything makes it even worse.
Yeah.
But anyway, next up. So you guys may have heard recently there was a Supreme Court decision that decided that the citizenship question and that was going to be in the 2020 census was apparently the Supreme Court said, look, you guys aren't really giving us a good enough reason for this, so we're saying no. Department of Justice confirmed that they will not be putting it on that, and apparently the thing's already gone to the printer. But apparently President Trump says he still wants to find a way to sneak it back in via executive order or other legal option. To be honest, if the thing's already gone to the printer, that's probably not going to happen. Not unless they find some way to stop the printing in the middle and start sending out separate, different kinds of census paperwork to different parts of the country, which I would not put past this administration, but yeah. Also keep in mind that if there is a just and loving God in the universe, Donald Trump will not be president after 2021.
Yeah.
But
after 2020 November.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically he is still president until
January
of the following year. But yeah, and then here it gets even better because they actually had him I can't remember if he was giving an interview or if he was giving a speech about it or something, but he basically kind of let go what the real reason for the census question was. You can probably guess what it is. I mean, he didn't say it in so many words, but it's pretty easy to interpret what he was saying. Which means that if the court takes that into account, it probably means this will never happen.
Yeah.
You know, can I ask someone, does everybody think that the summer heat drives people crazy?
Oh, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
Because I really am starting to think I'm taking crazy pills.
we're in mad world right now.
I mean, this is pretty batshit even for the current administration. Anyway.
Well, I think that can be chalked up to good old fashioned desperation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, you know, and keep in mind, at most, President Trump only has till 2024.
Yeah.
If he somehow does manage to win a second term, and honestly, I don't want anybody who can hear my voice to take that for granted, okay? He totally could if you don't go out and vote.
Yeah, yeah. And but, like, make no mistake, I think this next election, not having a viable choice is not going to be a problem.
No. Also, I have a feeling that whatever candidate we get for the Democrats isn't going to be nearly as toxic or has as much baggage as Hillary did.
No.
But anyway. So, next story. Nike. So, Nike, of course, Colin Kaepernick is now one of their spokespeople. Yes. And apparently they have been successful because of it. And then they announced that for July 4th, they were going to put out a special line of sneakers. And on the special line of sneakers, they were going to have the old Betsy Ross flag. Now, do you guys know what the Betsy Ross flag is?
Yeah.
The original American flag. It's the one, looks like ours, but instead of the 50 stars, it's the one with the 13 stars all arranged in a circle. Stars.
Well, we had that then.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's nice flag design. But Kaepernick brought it up to them. It's like, yeah, so, you know, that's good and all, but there's another side of this you guys are kind of forgetting, which is that that flag was put out when slavery was still very much a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially, we as a country began with slavery.
Yeah. I don't know if he directly said that you guys don't need to do this. I just think he brought it. It's like, yeah, you guys might want to think about this before you put this out. Because, you know, might be sending a bit of a mixed message here. Like, just FYI, you know, you guys do what you're going to do, but
yeah,
I want to think about it.
Yeah.
And so they thought about it, and they decided, yeah, this probably isn't as good an idea as we thought it would be. So they pulled them.
And people lost their shit.
Yeah.
And the thing I would say is, like, flag on your shoe is, like, really tacky looking.
Oh, it really is.
Because it's just on the heel, the back of the shoe. And like, these mock-ups, like, the flag's not even on straight. But it's like, why the fuck do I need a flag on my fucking shoes? To, like, prove I'm somehow, like, an American. Fucking Christ, these are just tacky as hell.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, ever since 9/11, patriotism has been a fashion statement, so...
Yeah, and then, but the thing is, by around 2010 or 2011, I thought that it kind of died out.
Nope, 2016, it came back.
Right.
Man, it's like these... Like, if you didn't have those on the shoes, it looked perfectly fine. Like, the red, white, and blue looks nice.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't have to put the flag on there.
You didn't
there.
Have to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, like, the shoe was already fine without it.
Specific flag as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's I can kind of understand, like, where this design came from. It's like, you've got the shoe designer who's like, he's got one thing in his mind right now. He's like, okay, let's do American, let's do OG, okay, let's look back at the history books. Okay, this was the original flag. Not really looking too much further into it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of...
I mean, if you really wanted to keep the flag in there, all you had to do was just put a single big star on the blue field and everybody would have gotten the idea.
Yeah. But also, like, if you're going to put out, like, a big flag as, like, a big shoe as, like, a thing for... you know, the 4th, it would be for 2026. We hit 250 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, do it then, not fucking 2019 just to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
So, like, even the name of the shoe is the Air Max 1 Quick Strike 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck does that mean?
Exactly. And so, yeah, the thing got pulled and the internet lost its goddamn mind. And people were crying censorship. Yeah. And I swear to God, I don't know why people don't understand that when it's a private company curating a product in a private space, that does not count. But
no.
Yeah, there's like a comment here that from the Instagram post. Can't wait for the Confederate Air Max 90s. But yeah, it's a dumb shoe to put out to even think about putting out. Yeah. And then they got to the point where they had, you know, mock-ups to do their photos and such.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's pretty smart not to do it. Like, you got enough shoes you can make fucking money hand over fist on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to be fucking, you know, buying into this corporate patriotism shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily they pulled them, so,
yeah. Yeah.
Feel bad. Like, feel bad for all the Vietnamese kids that worked on these.
Yeah,
but you can just put out the red, white, and blue version, no flag or anything on it.
Just take the flag off the back. You're good.
Yeah, but anyway, next story. If you're ready to get angry again, here you go. We've all heard the phrase affluenza before.
Uh-huh.
About how a person is so rich that when they do something awful, they don't.
I
know
have to
what
say something about the Nike thing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Don Jr. really shit himself over this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Let me look it up real quick if I can find it. All right. Because he basically... Oh, yeah. I'm going to post this image in the chat. This is the tweet. He put out a real tweet. That's something I'm making up here. Let me see. Add file. Yeah, because I took a screenshot of this. This tweet, and I want you to read this, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for you.
There it is. All right, got it.
All right, post it.
Once it's up. Yeah, it should be posted. I don't know if it's going to take a second to load it in for you.
It usually does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. Feel free to go ahead. I'll let you know when it's done.
Alright. But basically...
Oh, there we go.
Alright. Oh, God. If the Betsy Ross flag, the flag of the American Revolution, is too offensive for Nike to commemorate the 4th of July, maybe Nick should go with this. Seems to be more in line with their views. And it's like a Nike hammer and sick. Oh, my God. You stupid, stupid bastard.
It's like, oh, yeah, this is something that's never going to come back to bite him.
These are the people, a bunch of people elected.
Well, no, not him. No, he's just the kid around. Of the president.
Yeah.
And he's got 22,000 replies to this tweet.
And everyone's like, yeah, read that again very slowly. Anyway. All right, so anyway, as I was saying, affluenza, the idea that a person is so rich that when they do something awful, they can't possibly know what they could have done because living in such luxury completely screws up their moral compasses. Now, of course, that is, as you can probably guess, bullshit. Well, this week, a judge is under fire because after a boy raped a 16-year-old girl... And I want to say, when they raped her, I mean they drugged her, they tore her clothes. She basically blacked out, and she basically told her mom, I really don't know what happened to me last night, and I'm very scared.
Hmm.
The whole thing goes to trial, and the judge says, look, I'm going to be lenient on this kid, because he's good. He comes from a good family. He's got good grades. He's got a good future ahead of him. I don't want to ruin his life for one mistake. Fuck you.
Wow.
And he also argued that rape traditionally involved two or more males using a weapon to threaten a victim in an abandoned house, shed, or shack, circumstances not matching
this kid's alleged crime. That is awfully specific.
Yeah, so apparently this judge is actually like a retired judge, but he apparently fills in some positions when it's needed.
This isn't the sort of case he should be taking.
No.
Yeah, but that's what happened. And,
Jesus, hopped up
this is like Christ. When a police department lets the old guy that donates cars to them go on a sting and he accidentally kills the dude.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you should have seen that fucking coming, giving this guy a fucking gun going on this sting. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, God.
I swear, just... Yeah, So yeah, there really is two forms of law in this country, depending on if you're rich or poor, or white or black, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd probably say white or black.
Yeah.
And yeah, like he filmed himself doing.
Yeah,
this.
He filmed the whole damn thing.
Like that's not an accidental thing. That's
that's completely
premeditation.
Yeah.
And incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The defendant allegedly shared the cell phone video with his friends with a text message that read, "When your first time having sex was rape."
So I mean, that's like, I mean, you might as well have just said, "Hey, here's a video of me raping a woman."
Yeah. Well, he gets.
And here's my name. Here's my address. Here's the time I did it. And here's all the charges you should bring against me.
Yeah,
he said, and the judge said, GMC is an Eagle Scout, comes from a good family, put him in an excellent school where he was doing extremely well.
Yeah, you know who else was an Eagle Scout? Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah.
That's for
another
the
Eagle Scout.
Yeah. As for the sexually explicit messages about the alleged assault that Tina penned, Troiano said it was, quote, just a 16-year-old kid saying stupid crap to his friends. Like, what?
No.
He literally admitted to what he was doing.
Yeah, he's... This guy needs to
I mean, they're right that it was stupid crap, but it's also incriminating stupid crap.
Yeah.
I think this judge needs to be, kicked off the seat.
Well, I mean, technically he's retired.
Yeah, well, you kick him off the retired seat.
I think just completely... Actually, now that I think about it, I think depending on the state that's in, you actually don't need a law degree to necessarily be a judge.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't heard the end of this one, trust me.
Oh no, we're probably gonna hear. I would not be surprised if we end up here talking about this some more next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similarly, like I think
stay tuned, everyone.
John Oliver did a bit about, I think, what was it? Not corners.
It was about the I know what you're talking about. It's about post-mortem.
Yeah, like it's an elected position, and you don't need to be somebody with experience to run for it. And people have won that have no experience.
Yeah,
and like literally doing extremely gross stuff, like just renting out an apartment to run this business with dead bodies in it, not properly.
And just random organs and shit like and Tupperware containers in their refrigerator, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're actually, like, involved in that line of work, that's not necessarily out of the ordinary or unheard of doing.
Yeah.
Of, like, keeping stuff in, like, a container somewhere. But we're not talking using,
like, a standard, like,
health.
Yeah.
Like a standard, like, chest freezer to put body parts in, shit.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, it's like the brain home for the kids to play with and shit like this.
Yeah,
like,
he actually did that. We're not joking.
Yeah.
That actually happened.
And then and the one guy that they feature, like, literally just changed his name. He has a different name from what he's actually born as.
Because
he's like, oh, that's cool. Whatever. My friends call this anyway. It's like, what the fuck? How did this person win? Because nobody cares about the position, really.
Yeah. But anyway. Anyway, okay, next story. Justin Amash. Justin Amash is a, up until recently, a GOP congressperson. Was he a senator or House of Representatives? I can't remember.
House.
Yeah, he's in the House. He was he's technically part of what's called the House Freedom Caucus, which is the part that, you know, guys like Rand Paul and, those guys are a part of, and they're supposed to be principled individuals until Trump came along, and then they became Trump's bitch. Justin Amash is the one person of that caucus who probably is like, no, I take this shit very seriously. And once the Mueller report came forward and became public, he was one of pretty much the only sitting GOP congressman to go publicly and say, yeah, this is not looking good for President Trump. He totally did some awful shit, and he needs to be held accountable for it.
And Barr, you know, totally lied about what he was saying.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really corrupted the whole administration, and we need to do our jobs here. And basically what ended up happening is pretty much the rest of the Republican Party gave him the cold shoulder. So this week he announced that he is leaving the Republican Party and going independent.
Yep.
Which is a sure way of making sure you don't get elected. Nice,
but it also helps out a Democrat winning that seat.
Because,
yes, he represents Michigan's 3rd congressional district. So essentially he'll be running against a Democrat and probably Republican. And he'll probably get the bulk of the Republican votes, I assume. Which would then leave the Democrat probably getting the bulk of the votes. And sort of make that easier for...
Which, you know, that's kind of the real politic way of looking at it. But the other part of it is that this is a guy who's actually trying to be principled.
Yeah.
And actually, like, you know, show that he stands by those principles.
Yeah.
And he's basically had to sacrifice his political career because of it.
Yeah.
And he probably, because he's running on those principles, he will probably not be a House member after the next election because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or but also, might surprise I think it's, you, and he might end up being a House member. Who knows?
Or he might
people
surprise. Might maybe he'll start. Name. Maybe he'll end up becoming the edifice of an entirely new political.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. After the Trump virus got itself into the GOP. After the Trump virus infected itself in the GOP, can you really see the old GOP coming back?
No.
No. I don't know if you saw AOC was saying either today or yesterday or something like that. But they say and she treats the GOP like cartoonish buffoons because that's what they've been her entire life.
Yeah.
And like the old people in like the media and all that, they know when the GOP used to be, okay.
I mean, they were a lot more principled and, You know, people forget a progressive Republican was not an oxymoron at one point in time in this country's history.
No.
We did have progressive Republicans. They existed.
Yeah.
And they supported things like Social Security and, you know, civil rights legislation and, you know, religious, you know, giving religious freedom to religious minorities and all this stuff. They existed. They really were a thing. Mm-hmm. I know it's really hard to imagine that now because there's been so many generations where the Republican Party has basically been staffed by nothing but a bunch of far-right Christian conservative wackadoodles. But that wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the party.
Even the genuinely conservative ones had principles once upon a time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, freaking Barry Goldwater, the guy who was famously called Mr. Conservative.
He's rolling in his fucking grave.
Yeah, he basically warned. He's like, look, if these preachers get a hold of our party, it's going to become a massive problem.
Mm. And,
oh, and behold, he was right.
And from the other side of that, you've got Franklin Graham, who became the very thing his dad warned about.
Yeah. But whatever. Anyway. So, yeah. Next story. We got some science news now. NASA. NASA is planning some Dragonfly missions. One particular, they're going to be sending a lander over to Titan in 2026. Titan, for those of you, that's one of the moons that revolves around the planet Saturn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or is Saturn or is it Jupiter?
Interesting to see.
It's Saturn.
It's Saturn. Yeah.
It's the one moon in this solar system that people think there's definitely water under the ice.
Mm. Yeah.
That there's potential for life there.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far because of what the atmosphere is comprised of.
Yeah, that's true.
Methane.
Yay! Methane! Which means one spark and... Mm.
But yeah, the Dragonfly will launch 2026, arrive in 2034.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rotorcraft. It'll fly to dozens of promising locations on Titan, looking for prebiotic chemical processes common on both Titan and Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Dragonfly, marks the first time NASA will fly a multi-rotor vehicle for science on another planet. 8 rotors, flies like a large drone. Take advantage of Titan's dense atmosphere, which is 4 times denser than Earth's, to become the first vehicle ever to fly its entire science payload to new places for repeatable and targeted access to surface materials.
Hmm. That looks pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be nice. Mm. This is going to be
actually
fun.
I was thinking of Io. Io's the one that's icy with water under it.
Yeah.
Ah.
Titan's the one that's just kind of cold as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And now for a story you're
like
all just
someone
gonna...
froze a fart.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's 290 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Below. Yeah, that's warm.
No, below.
Okay.
Below.
Negative.
That's way
below. Negative 179 degrees Celsius.
Mm.
Yikes.
Surface pressure is also 50% higher than Earth's.
All right. Well, all right. Next story. And you're just going to love this one. So, you know that old saying about how, like, after the nuclear Armageddon, the only things that'll still be around are cockroaches and Cher?
Yeah.
Or Keith now, the Richards. Cher thing is debatable.
Well, Keith Richards. Definitely Keith Richards.
Oh, yeah, Keith Richards, too, probably. Hmm. The cockroaches thing is not. And that became even more certain this week because over in the Philippines, they discovered that the cockroaches over there are becoming immune to pretty much all known insecticides.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Of
all the...
I mean, it could be worse. Could be spiders.
Yeah.
Well, no, the spiders are at least natural predators to pests.
These things are just...
pests.
Yeah.
Yeah, this happened with...
Last year I moved into a new apartment and it happens to be along a river. I quickly learned that you do not kill spiders when living in a place along the river because that is how you get things you want even less than spiders.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know where this goes. I would rather have the pesticide-resistant spiders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this happened
I mean, if they're pesticide-resistant, at least they're still not bullet-resistant, right?
Yeah.
Or boot-resistant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this happened.
I'm pretty
with,
sure if you could stomp out a cockroach infestation, then there are some industries that would go out of business.
Mm. Yeah, what was the game I was playing? House Flipper. Mm. I used to use a vacuum to suck those things up. So I assume there's a flame on the other end. Just sets them on fire on the way in.
That's funny.
But yeah, this was a study done at Purdue. Mm-hmm. They exposed German cockroaches to different insecticides. Found the cockroach populations not only developed a resistance to the insecticide they were exposed to, but also picked up resistance to other insecticides.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they can pass the resistance on to their offspring, making only a matter of time before a given population becomes essentially insecticide-proof.
So first they become immune to insecticides, and then they start growing, and sooner or later, we have boss monsters.
Sooner or later, you have Breath of Fire.
Yeah.
And they explain, like, why it's an issue. Exterminators typically use a cocktail of different insecticides, which are divided into classes based on toxicity, chemical composition, and other factors. That way, if an insect is immune to one kind, another kind can knock them out. Mm. It doesn't work if they become immune to different types. Scientists were able to keep cockroach populations level through rotating insecticides, but weren't able to reduce their numbers. Yeah, they say resistance within a single generation of the cockroach is sometimes increased 4 or 6-fold. Combine that with the fact that a single female cockroach can produce 200 to 300 offspring in her short lifetime, while you're looking at some cursed math.
Yep.
Kill it with fire.
Yeah. Nuke it from orbit. The only way to be sure.
They also conclude the issue is worse in low-income areas and other places where effective pest control isn't available.
Shocking.
All right.
I did mention vacuums as a way to combat it. Physical methods like traps and vacuums. So they must have cockroach vacuums.
Yep.
See, but you do that enough, all that means is that, you know, the cockroaches are going to evolve so that they can grab on to stuff.
Yeah.
Do you really want cockroaches with opposable thumbs?
Nope. Yeah.
Well, I don't want cockroaches that are pesticide resistant either, but here we fucking are.
True that.
All right. Next up, we are now in the entertainment section of the show. And first show.
Now, before we move on, I just have to say, Virtua Racing on the Switch, hot damn. M2's done it again.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Solid 60 frames a second. We have a new best version.
Yep. Yeah. I mentioned that M2 are crazy people.
Yeah,
you have, and we're all the better off for it.
Yep.
Anyway, as I was saying, Entertainment Reports and Show. First story from that part, we have the sad news to report that Mad Magazine is shutting down after 67 years of publication.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So, a little bit about Mad Magazine and its history. Do you guys know who the original publisher for Mad Magazine was?
Not offhand.
EC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
The same people behind Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror, etc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, the guy, you know, also stuff like true crime suspense stories and stuff like that, weird fantasy.
Mm.
Basically, the whole sort of genre comic book phenomenon that took over in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, once superheroes kind of sort of went into the background after World War II.
Yeah.
And if you remember, the 50s is also where we had Dr. Friedrich Werther and his infamous Seduction of the Innocent.
Oh, yeah.
And, then there was the comic book, Moral Panic. And EC Comics was kind of in the epicenter of all that.
CCA.
Because, yeah, and the Comics Code Authority.
We've been down that road, though.
Yeah, they're not, well, CCA isn't around anymore, so.
Well, no, I meant on the show, we've been down that road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a factoid.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, Mad Magazine is pretty much the sole reason that company did not go completely under. Because it was the one publication out of all of them that survived it. And Mad Magazine, I mean, it played host to some of the true greats in the history of American comic books. You had Harvey Kurtzman. Who was like one of the founding editors and cartoonists for it. You had Jack Cole, the guy who created Plastic Man. You had Wallace Wood, a.k.a. Wally Wood or Woody, who basically started one of the first like major superhero parody strips in history with Super Duper Man.
Yeah.
Later, you had guys like Sergio Arianas, you know, the guy behind Gru the Barbarian, and also famous for, like, all the insane amount of, like, little cartoons and stuff that are, like, in the indentions and on the sides and everything of the magazine.
The fold-ins.
Yeah, the fold-ins. You had the fold-ins. You had that every so often where they would just let one random dude, like, edit the magazine themselves. I think the most recent one was Weird Al.
Oh, I bet that was good.
Oh, it was. It was really good.
Do you know the reason that it's a fold-in?
I guess you're going to tell us.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering if you guys know. I mean, the reason that they did a fold-in was because printing a fold-out was actually really expensive.
Yeah, it actually is. Well, I mean, it's extra paper. Yeah. So
they decided, well...
A non-typical form factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we decided to do that instead.
Although every time I tried to do one of those, it always came out kind of lopsided. Because I can never get it to work just right.
Yeah.
But that was just me.
Yeah, my mom had done a lot of those in her time. If not for her, I would have been in the same boat, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is really sad, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do...
That MAD would have thrived in the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they kind of did for a short time, and then I just, like everybody else, I guess they got Trump fatigue.
Yeah. No, I don't know what happened. I mean, D.C.
Sooner or later, all the jokes have been cracked.
Then again, if we really think about it, MAD is just another casualty of the slow march to all digital media.
Yeah. This is true.
I would not be surprised if Marvel stops printing paper comics altogether in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not saying they're going to stop printing out trade paperbacks, just individual issues.
Yeah.
Either that, or they'll maybe start putting out, do like what Archie does, and put out like the digest volumes that you can get in the news section. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
Or some hybrid model.
Yeah, something like that. I know they basically resurrected the Timely Comics label specifically for that. But yeah, maybe MAD will go the way that Crack did and they'll start a website.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Crack has done really well for itself, too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, another place. If you can get another place for Sean Baby to write for, I'd be happy. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I kind of figured something was afoot when they basically moved MAD Magazine out of New York and over to the DC offices in L.A.
Yeah.
This does not bode well. They said all the right things, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's sad, but we'll see what comes of it afterwards. Anyway.
It is a brand that needs to live on.
Oh, yeah. They should bring back MAD TV.
Yeah.
MAD TV was great.
Yeah.
Or that cartoon that they did on Cartoon Network. That was also really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a brand here, man.
Yeah.
And it's a good brand. We can do stuff with it.
It's one we need.
Yeah.
Most importantly.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
We need satire more now than ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And good satire.
Yep.
Yeah.
And anyway. Unfortunately, we have The Onion, which is more news now.
Yeah.
Because they can't make anything up more ridiculous than what actually happens.
Our comedy shows have now replaced the daily news because apparently only comedians can tell the truth now.
Apparently.
We also have The Hard Times, which is good.
Mm-hmm. And The Onion is still poking around.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway. Next up. Disney has of course announced that they're going to be making their, let's be obvious, we all saw it coming, remake of The Little Mermaid, and they announced who's going to be playing Ariel. It's an actress named Halle Bailey, not Halle Berry, as I originally thought it was, because apparently I'm dyslexic as fuck.
I think she was trending on Twitter because of that.
Yeah, it's Halle Bailey. And as you can guess, the internet went batshit loony.
Yeah,
when they found out she's a black woman.
Mass losing of shit.
Yeah,
I saw, I forget what tweet it was, I think it might be the tweet for this THR article, and it's basically like people saying like, really? Like questioning it, like why? Why is there a black girl playing this character? It's like, She's a fucking fish woman.
my question would have been, really? Why is this a problem?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I will admit, though, I mean, for a long time, I'd always thought that tradition had been to, like, portray mermaids as having, like, green or pink or something skin that's not the normal, and that I think it was the Little Mermaid that started that more human-like trend, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing because of the way they did with Aladdin, they wanted to be a lot closer to like actual Middle Eastern culture with that. Maybe this is part of them trying to sort of hew closer to Hans Christian Andersen's original story. Of course, it still has the regular Disney ending, because if it was the Hans Christian Andersen ending, there would be a bunch of crying children coming out of the theater.
Yes.
Yeah, so
I would be greatly amused if that was the route they took, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Me too.
Well, after Endgame, I wouldn't put anything past Disney.
No.
Valid.
Yeah. Valid. But...
Yeah, they got...
Like I said, I was like, she's a fish woman. Why are you people getting so upset?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not the red-haired white woman.
It's not the ginger, damn it.
Yeah, and then let's see. Rob Marshall's going to direct this.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the Mary Poppins Returns?
Yeah,
sequel to the original,
which I didn't see yet, so I don't know if it's any good.
It's all right.
And they're going to start 2020, early 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And they also got other casts lined up with Melissa McCarthy. I think she's going to play Ursula, because of course there's only like two or three heavy women in Hollywood to hire for any role.
Yeah.
Jacob Tremblay. Mm. I'm not sure what he's going to play, but there's Awkwafina is also in talks to be in it.
Once again, people got upset over stupid shit.
As they are wont to do.
Yeah. They do that quite often.
They're mad about their fish porn.
Yeah. Like, the old movie's still going to be there, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, the track record for these live-action remakes haven't exactly been the best anyway, so what exactly have you got to lose?
Yeah, Aladdin wasn't great. Didn't really care for it too much.
Hopefully the Lion King one will be better, but...
People need to stop calling that a live-action remake. It's all fucking CG.
Yeah,
most of it. Lion King definitely is.
Yeah.
If people keep calling it live-action, it's like, they didn't use fucking real lions for this.
No. Like, I mean, they used models of real lions, but
they didn't just go to Africa and just happen to find them doing these weird rituals and shit.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Find the warthog in the whatever the
meerkat.
Yeah, like singing.
Yeah,
like they weren't fucking real doing that shit.
All right, next up, next story, penultimate story for the night. Neil Gaiman has announced that Netflix is going to have a Sandman series.
Okay.
Yay!
Yeah. Netflix is getting a lot of very interesting series.
Well, I think it's because pretty much, for whatever reason, a lot of people don't... You know, those licenses have been out there, and I guess Netflix are really the only ones right now that seem to have enough balls to really take the very ambitious ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them and Amazon.
Yeah. So, yeah, did any of you guys read Sandman back in the day?
I didn't, though.
No.
Well, I kind of did. Sandman was one of those comics, it was kind of confusing if you were going into it, like, you know, without any preconceived knowledge, because the way that the series works is it's really more of like an anthology and like a complete story from beginning to end. I mean, there is a story arc for the main character, but it's like peppered in between all these different storylines, and a lot of it's kind of in the background. It also doesn't help that, you know, like the artist tended to change like pretty much from issue to issue. So you'd have like these radically different art styles for these different characters. And a lot of times the characters would only somewhat hew to like the character design from like the previous issue.
Hmm.
And of course, you know, and also it goes against a lot of the preconceived notions of what a comic book is, because, you know, there isn't really a superhero in, you know, in the comic at all. I mean, Batman does kind of show up once or twice as sort of like an ancillary character, but that's about it.
Hmm.
And this article definitely lays out some interesting things about it. So this is going to be produced by DC Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like Netflix is kind of also getting into the comic book thing after the Marvel thing kind of went south on them. But yeah, their sources are saying that it's the most expensive TV series that DC Entertainment has ever done, which is interesting. And it's going to be an 11-episode order that they picked up. Warner Brothers Television is working on this as well, since it's DC.
Yeah.
They also said, let's see, where's it at? They took the Sandman TV pitch to multiple outlets, including HBO.
Mm-hmm.
The premium cable network did not make a play for the series, given the massive price tag attached and likely number of other big world shows that they're working on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix ended up being the one that's took it on.
Yeah.
Mm.
Since they kind of really don't have a ton of huge shows like that.
Yeah.
They got The Witcher that's coming out at some point.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to see where that goes. I wonder who they're going to have to play Dream. That's going to be... Yeah, how they're going to... Who they're going to have to play Morpheus. I'm wondering. Huh. Yeah. But not that Morpheus, damn it. Anyway, and finally, we got a trailer for Rian Johnson's new movie, Knives Out.
Which, when I clicked on it, I thought I had clicked on the a reboot of the Clue movie, because that's what this really looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a rare thing, because I guess the Clue movie kind of was a failure. It's only been in, like, reruns and... sort of modern context that it's really become a big popular movie, which, you know, is great.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it's a genuinely good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is very funny and very quotable.
Yeah.
Though the modern incarnations of it loses out on, like, one of the key cool aspects of the original, which is that in the theaters, they had three different cuts.
Mm.
Yeah.
It had different endings, and, like, if you're just catching it on TV, you're not going to see all three of those endings.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, yeah, if you are going to see all three of those endings on the TV, because that's how it's cut on television. It was in the theaters where you only got one ending.
Really? I don't remember seeing it.
So. Yeah, basically what they did is on the television version, the TV cut, I guess, is they would show one ending and then they would have like the title show up and go like, you know, that's how it could have happened, but what about this? And then you go to the second ending and then it'll say, that's how it could have happened, but now here's how it really happened. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where, you know, it turns out that, you know, the butler was actually Mr. Body the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
The movie's over 30 years old. It's...
You're aware that we're on the internet, right?
Oh, don't get me started on the whole everything is a spoiler culture that has emerged.
Yes.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah, they got neat talent in this. They got Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Johnson, Michael Shannon.
I was looking at the like rapid fire credits on there. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, and Christopher Plummer's in there. It's out November 27th, so like post-Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
Seems like it's going to be a fun one. It also got Chris Evans saying, like, what, eat shit?
Yeah.
He just tells everybody, like, eat shit, you eat shit, eat shit. It's like, all right, you got Captain America just telling everybody eat shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Take my money.
Yeah. All right, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question or comment or something you just want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders.com. Letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked to you in the show notes. Also, now that iTunes is pretty much about dead, you can pretty much catch all of our stuff on Apple Podcasts, RSS, archive.org, Google Play, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator or just any place where you can download stuff like us and listen to me talking to your ear with my god-awful country drawl for a couple of hours each night. And now, with that, I have been your host with the nose, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Donalfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logie. Good night. Fireworks are bullshit, and I wish they were illegal again.